I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. There's a picture of a young Olive Yang back in the 1950s. She's surrounded by her soldiers in what was then Burma. The soldiers, all men in uniform, stand at attention. She's out in front, clearly in charge, with a cigarette dangling from her fingers, and she's dressed like a man. Yup, Olive Yang was a badass before that was even a word. She was also a warlord and opium trafficker in the Golden Triangle of Southeast Asia. Oh, and she once had a romance with one of Burma's most famous actresses. Complicated character, right? Last week, Olive Yang died at the age of 90. We're going to remember her with help from reporter Gabrielle Palouch. She had the opportunity to meet Olive and interview her a couple of years ago.
Olive was in a wheelchair in her pajamas with her short cropped haircut, and I'd been reading about her for so long and was so excited to see her. But she had suffered a fairly severe stroke just a couple months prior. So it was really difficult to talk to her, and she wasn't even really able to speak that much. But I did get some audio recordings of the few words she said to me. And when I showed her photos of Wawa Wenchui, the actress that she seduced, she laughed heartily and she said, yeah, Wawa Wenchui. So she was really excited to see that photo.
So take us back to Olive Yang's early years. This is the 1920s when she was a girl in British Burma, now Myanmar. She came from royal stock, right?
Yeah, so they are descended from Chinese royalty, and they wound up in the Golden Triangle in the early 19th century. It was a small territory called Kokang, and she always was unusual as a child. She was described as being very unusual and very boyish. She got in trouble for bringing guns in her backpack to school, or she would fall in love with her brother's girlfriends or her brother's wives. Her inability to conform to the gender roles that were expected from her were sort of constantly messing her up. Mm. And eventually, her parents got so frustrated that they arranged for her to marry a cousin, hoping that would calm her down. And in the end, that decision might have prompted her to go pursue a career as an opium trafficker, because she didn't want to be a wife. She didn't want to be married. She didn't want to be a mother. And it left her with very few options.
Later in life, she asked to be called Uncle Olive. Is she the appropriate pronoun to be using here? Because there's some confusion as to whether Olive Yang actually identified as transgender, or culturally whether there was even a word for that.
Right. I mean, it's really difficult to know, because in the Golden Triangle in 1927, words like genderqueer or transgender, all these terms that we have today, simply didn't exist. And if you keep in mind that Olive's native language, which is a Kokang Chinese dialect, doesn't even use gendered pronouns, it might not have really come up that much linguistically. She might not have ever had to really identify herself in that way. There's a lot of things that she did that aren't quite captured by words like gay or cross-dressing. But it doesn't really seem right to refer to her as transgender, because she never referred to herself as such. Hmm. And we can't ask her that.
So she spent some time in jail and obviously couldn't be helped. She left her children behind. How did her relationships with her kids suffer?
Naturally, Olive's relationship with her son is a complicated one. He's the product of marital rape, and she gave him up as soon as he was born to a wet nurse and didn't want to raise him because she wanted to be working on the border trafficking opium. And when Jeep was born, he, you know, spent a lot of time with his uncles. He rarely saw his mother, and they haven't spoken in over a decade. He looks exactly like his mother and says that whenever he misses her, he just looks in the mirror to remind himself of her. So it's obvious that there's a longing there and there's a sadness there. There was not much mothering or parenting going on from Olive's side, but her son loves her deeply and thinks of her often and told me that he has no ill feelings towards her and understands that her life was very complicated and that she had to do what she had to do.
You know, Gabrielle, the Golden Triangle seems like a kind of place where these larger-than-life characters just breed. There were those cigar-smoking child twins who led what they called God's Army. That fed the tropes in films like Tropic Thunder. And there's Olive Yang. What is it about the Golden Triangle that gives us these colorful people, do you think?
The Golden Triangle is a special sort of place because it's this lawless land where so many different groups with so many different interests are competing. I personally think that Olive Yang is the best character. out of the Golden Triangle and thinks she's absolutely fascinating and such a pioneer in unselfconscious ways. She had no idea that her struggle with her gender or the way she defied Burmese authorities would inspire so many people or would somehow make her into a hero of sorts.
Reporter Gabrielle Palouk, thanks very much for introducing us to Olive Yang and filling us in on her story. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Marco. It's a pleasure to speak to you.